A lot of us are creatures of habit. We may do things a certain way. We may have a daily routine, one that you do ritually. So much so that if you break away from that routine, even just once, it sets your whole day off balance. What most people don't realize is that your daily routine can become someone else's daily routine, their obsession. They know your every move because you scripted that for them by making it your daily ritual, like a real-life version of your favorite TV show on repeat. They know where to find you and what time you'll be there. Always. So when 19-year-old Tara Calico went on the same exact bike ride she had done numerous times before at the exact same time on the exact same stretch of road, her killer knew exactly where to find her. This is the case of Tara Calico. And this is Gone in a Blink. Hello, hello to all you true crime fans out there. I'm your host, Heather, and Danielle is out this week, so today is just you and me. Welcome to episode 14 of Gone in a Blink. Today's case is one that has made a lot of true crime sleuths, much like myself, question how a missing young woman from New Mexico disappears on a morning bike ride, and how a notorious photograph that has gained national attention was found in a random parking lot halfway across the country and could very well be that of the same missing woman from New Mexico. Today we are discussing the case of 19-year-old Tara Calico. So if you're ready, let's jump in. Tara Lee Calico left the home she shared with her mother in Belen, New Mexico on September 20th, 1988, around 9:30 a.m. to go on a bike ride. This was a ride that she took daily with her mother, Patty Dole. However, it was reported that her mother had stopped going because she had begun to feel as if they were being followed. This didn't really seem to bother Tara, though, and like most teenagers that age, I think she was just young and a little naive and really felt that nothing was going to happen. Her mother did not want her to go. But since there was no persuading Tara to stay home, her mother asked her to at least take Mace or something of that nature with her in case anything were to happen. But Tara was not interested in the idea of doing that. So, okay, I guess my thought on that, Tara was 19 years old, so she was plenty old enough to make her own decisions. But if I was going on daily bike rides with my child and, or I guess she wasn't a child. So my 19-year-old, and I got the impression that someone was following us. Of course, I would want to stop going altogether. And I would want my daughter or son to stop going also. But if they're going to refuse to go, I'm not going to sit home and let them go alone. I would rather be there with them than let them go by themselves. If you've got instincts like that and you're thinking that someone is actually following them, I feel like it would be safer in pairs versus sending my 19-year-old out on the trail by themselves. Or I guess it wasn't even really a trail. It was just on the side of the road or a highway. But it still seems kind of strange that she would just let her go. And I am not victim shaming at all because what happened is awful. But I don't think that I would have stayed home in that situation, but I'm sure she's probably has enough guilt as it is. And I don't want to try to add to that by any means or shame her by any means whatsoever. So Tara told her mother that if she wasn't home by noon, she would need Patty to come get her so she wouldn't be late for a tennis date that she had with her boyfriend later on that day around 12:30. Tara set out on her mother's bike that morning because her own bike was damaged. She was scheduled to meet up with her boyfriend later that day to play tennis, like I mentioned. So as you can already tell, Tara was very active and liked to stay fit. So she headed out on her usual 36-mile route on her mother's neon pink Huffy mountain bike around 9:30. And that shows you how fit she likes to stay. 36-mile bike route before she meets up with her boyfriend to go play tennis. I wish I could be that active. Let's just say that. So she was last seen riding along Highway 47 in Valencia County at approximately 11:45 a.m. This would be the last time anyone would see Tara Calico. When Tara hadn't returned home by noon, Patty went out looking for her along their usual bike route. However, there was no sign of Tara or her bike. Scared and panicked, Patty then contacted the police. Smashed pieces of Tara's Sony Walkman and the cassette tape that was in it were later found scattered into three pieces along the road, 3 miles from her home, and another piece of her Walkman was found approximately 19 miles away. Tara's mother, Patty, believes that her daughter had just dropped the pieces as an attempt to mark her trail. According to the Charlie Project, there were bicycle tire marks found on the ground where her cassette tape was discovered. Several witnesses came forward claiming to have seen Tara riding her bike that morning. There were also several witnesses who said they saw a light-colored 1953 Ford pickup truck with a camper shell and New Mexico plates following close behind her. Then on June 15th, 1989, a Polaroid photo, the notorious Polaroid photo, was found in a convenience store parking lot in Port St. Joe, Florida. The photo is of an unknown young woman and a young boy. Both are bound with their hands tied behind their backs, and their mouths are gagged with black duct tape. The young woman is lying on a pile of blankets and pillows, and the younger boy is lying next to her. They appear to be in the back of a windowless van, and beside the woman, there is a book. The book is a paperback copy of My Sweet Audrina by V.C. Andrews. This book is said to have been one of Tara's favorite books. The woman who discovered the photo said that she found it in a parking space where a white Toyota cargo van without any windows had been parked when she first arrived at the convenience store. She claims that the driver of the van was a white male in his 30s with a mustache. Once the photograph was found, the woman who discovered it immediately contacted police, who then set up roadblocks in an effort to catch up to the white Toyota van. However, the van was never located. According to officials, the photograph had been taken sometime after May of 1989 because of the fact that the particular film wasn't made available until that time. The photo was then televised on the TV show A Current Affair in July, and Tara's mother, Patty, was notified by friends who had seen the show and thought that the girl in the picture looked a lot like Tara. Meanwhile, relatives of a missing boy, also from New Mexico, by the name of Michael Henley, who disappeared in April of 1988, had seen the show as well and believed that the boy in the photo was Michael. Henley's parents, along with Patty Dole, then met with investigators to analyze the photo. Patty believed very strongly that it was her daughter in the photograph. She noted that there was a scar on the woman's leg that was identical to the scar on Tara's leg that she got from a previous car accident. She also noted Tara's favorite book lying beside the woman in the photo. Now, was this a mother's intuition or an unfortunate case of a mother's wishful thinking? There are a lot of similarities between Tara and the woman in the photo. And if you have ever seen the photo, the woman looks almost identical to Tara. And first of all, it's a really creepy thing to find a picture of a child and a young woman gagged with duct tape and bound sitting in what appears to be a van, just a random picture in a parking lot. So I don't know. A lot of people think that this was definitely Tara, including her mother. And I can see why, because they look identical to one another, totally identical. But a lot of people also think that this is some kind of hoax. And it is odd that a photo like that would just be laying in a random spot, unless the killer did that on purpose, which is also a possibility. But I will post this photo on our Facebook page just so you can tell me your thoughts, because some of the biggest cases have been solved by true crime sleuths, just like the Gabby Petito case. If it wasn't for the couple traveling off the grid in a quiet area of Yellowstone National Park, investigators may never have found the body of Gabby. So let me know what you think about this particular case. I'm really curious to know what our listeners think about this photo in particular. It is believed that the idea that the boy in the photo could be Michael Henley, but is highly unlikely due to the fact that his remains were found in June of 1990 in the Zuni Mountains, about 7 miles from where his family was camping the day he went missing, and approximately 75 miles from where Tara had disappeared. Another strange thing that I find so odd about the photograph is that they found it in Florida. And Tara went missing, and Michael, which I mentioned, they think the likelihood of the boy being Michael Henley is very slim because his remains were discovered. And they believe that he wandered off from his family's campsite. But I think the fact that Tara went missing more than halfway across the country in New Mexico, and this photograph pops up in Port Joe, Florida, is just very, very strange. What an odd, random place for it to pop up. But it's very weird to me that it would pop up at all, but much less more than halfway across the country. So again, I would like to know your thoughts on that. In 1988, Tara Calico was declared officially dead, and a judge ruled her death a homicide. The reason for her death was ruled a homicide was because Tara never took anything with her that day to indicate that she had disappeared voluntarily, and nothing was missing from her room. She was happy in her life with her boyfriend, she was a straight-A student, and she had a lot going for her, including plans to start a career in psychology. Valencia County Sheriff's Lieutenant Joseph Rowland has been working the Tara Calico case and is part of a team of individuals working hard to find out what happened to her and to seek justice in her disappearance. Rowland claims the day Tara went missing, there was only a 20-minute window between the time that witnesses saw her riding her bike along the road and the time her mother, Patty, went searching for her. That's 20 minutes. That's not long at all. I guess, though, a lot can happen in 20 minutes, unfortunately. So a man by the name of Baron Freeman was one of the witnesses who reported seeing Tara riding her bike with the light-colored Ford pickup following her closely. In an article published on a local New Mexico media page called KOB, Freeman is quoted as saying, "Once I passed her, that's when I focused my eyes on the so-called escort vehicle." He's referring to the Ford truck. "And that's when the hair stood up on the back of my neck and I said, wait a minute, this doesn't look good." With the help of numerous witnesses, police were able to create a sketch of the driver of the pickup. The driver was described as a white or light-skinned man in his 30s or 40s, with red or brown hair. To this day, the Ford pickup has never been recovered. Then in 2008, the sheriff of Valencia County, Rene Rivera, made a report that he had received information that two teenagers had accidentally hit Tara with their truck, panicked, and then killed her. According to the source, the teenagers knew Tara and began following her closely. An accident followed and the teenagers ended up hitting Tara and she died as a result. And then the teenagers then covered up the crime. In my opinion, that doesn't match up with the description of the driver of the truck that was following her closely. Because one minute they're saying the driver of the truck that was following her closely was a man in his 30s or 40s. And now they are saying they have information that some teenagers were following her because they knew her and had accidentally hit her with their truck. So that doesn't really match up. Rivera claimed that he knows the names of the teenagers involved. However, without a body, he could not make a case against them and could not release the evidence that led him to these particular teenagers. Tara's stepfather, John Dole, was angry at Rivera's statement about knowing who the suspects are, and he believes that he shouldn't have said anything if he wasn't willing to make an arrest. He also believes that any circumstantial evidence in the case should be enough to make an arrest and that a body isn't needed. I feel like a lot of cases have been tried and convictions have been made without a body being discovered. So I'm not sure if there just wasn't enough evidence to pursue the case, or, I mean, the judge already ruled Tara's death a homicide, so they're not questioning any other cause of death or the idea that maybe she committed suicide. So my only thought is maybe there wasn't enough circumstantial evidence to prosecute at the time, because you don't need to have a body. Now, it is harder to prosecute a case without a body, but it's not impossible. So the only thing I could think of is that maybe they just didn't have enough circumstantial evidence. However, in October 2010, the FBI announced that they were offering a $20,000 reward for details leading to the whereabouts of Tara Calico and leading to the arrest of the individual or individuals involved in her disappearance. In October 2013, a six-person task force was created to reinvestigate Tara's case. However, as of 2017, no arrests had been made and the case was pretty much sitting dormant. Then in September of 2021, the Valencia County Sheriff's Office and the New Mexico State Police issued a statement that they had a new lead in the case and that a sealed warrant was issued for an unknown private residence located within Valencia County. So that's hopeful that they're on to something or someone. So then in September of 2023, the Valencia County Sheriff's Office made an announcement that there had been a significant breakthrough in the case and that they had a lead that was sufficient evidence enough to submit to the DA's office for potential charges. Sheriff Denise Vigil said that currently identities and specifics of the persons of interest are sealed by the court and will remain so until a court orders otherwise, unquote. So that sounds even more promising. I think it's probably safe to say at this point that Tara Calico is no longer alive, although I guess anything's really possible. But it sounds like they've taken a giant step towards finding the person or persons who are responsible for her disappearance. So Tara Calico's parents are no longer alive. However, her two brothers, as well as her two sisters, deserve justice for Tara. If you have any information on the whereabouts of Tara Calico, or have any information at all on her disappearance, please contact the Valencia County Sheriff's Office at area code 505-866-2400 or the FBI at area code 505-889-1300. Thank you for listening to another episode of Gone in a Blink. We'd really love to hear from you regarding your thoughts on this case or any of the cases that we cover. We are also always open to new ideas for a show. So if you'd like to contact us, you can reach us at our Gmail at goneinablinkpod@gmail.com. And we'd love for you to follow us on any of our social media sites. You can find us on Facebook at Gone in a Blink Podcast or Instagram at Gone in a Blink Pod. You can also check us out on TikTok at Gone in a Blink Pod. And remember, stay safe, stay smart, and try not to blink.